Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepeakcalendarshow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Shifting gears a little bit, we're going to get to... We usually talk to Mark Starling from Asheville. He's the morning guy up there at WWNC Radio. But I saw this. Do you know this guy, Ro Khanna? The congressman from, I believe, California. Sort of one of the young guns of the Democrat Party, you know? And he commented on the WNBA draft, because that's what we want our Congress critters to really be focusing on, right, is the WNBA draft. So Ro Khanna, he sends out a tweet and he says the first pick. Oh, we got Mark here. So Ro Khanna sends out the tweet. The first pick in the NBA draft will make around $10 million in 1 year. Caitlin Clark, first round draft pick in the WNBA draft, will make $76,535. That is wrong. Pay women what they deserve. And apparently this is true. Her rookie contract, 4 years, $338,000, roughly 76 in the first year, 78,000 in the second year, 85 in the third, and then 97,000 in the fourth year of her contract. And so this is very, very, very wrong. So I wanted to talk with Mark Starling, noted basketball expert.
I did play for the Harlem Globetrotters for 2 seasons, Pete. You may remember that.
That wasn't a whole season, Mark. That was a single game in 2 different tours they came through on.
I signed a contract. You may call it an injury waiver release, but I call it a contract.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And so did you make as much as the female Harlem Globetrotter recruits?
Well, so I didn't get paid in physical cash. What I did get is a commemorative Globetrotters uniform. So, yes, basically.
Yeah. Well, okay, so that's probably worth more than $76,000.
Right. Well, I mean, if you've seen the prices they charge at some of these events, it's right on par with this. You know, the thing I find so funny about this, Pete, is that, you know, is that a mass difference in the amount that the men earn versus the women? Absolutely. But here's the difference. The men aren't being subsidized, right? The WNBA is subsidized by the NBA because they can't get enough people in the seats to watch the games, which it does beg the question, how come women don't support women's basketball?
Who was the, I think it was, I forget, who. There was a comic that I saw, a stand-up comedian, and he was talking about the WNBA, and everybody started cheering, and what's his name? Bill Burr.
Dave Chappelle.
Or was it Chappelle? I mean, he immediately turns around and he's like, name me one player.
Right.
Right. Like, that, no. Right. Everybody's like, yay, WNBA. Woo, we're all about it. And it's like, okay, how many games you been to? Name me a player. Right. Who's your favorite player in the WNBA? Nobody. Now everyone's going to know Caitlin Clark, which is like, this is pretty amazing. Well, it is. Like, the viewership for the WNBA draft was through the roof. Which is, I don't even know what to say about that. Like, I guess that's good. Like, she's going to be, I think, really good for the WNBA by comparison.
Oh, yeah, she's going to be great for them.
Yeah.
But the difference being is that, you know, they don't have anybody to actually buy tickets. And I think the big thing is that the only other name that people may be able to name from the NBA is the great martyr of our time, Brittany Griner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because one should not expect to get arrested in a foreign country by taking, illegal narcotics across the border.
I look at that more as a kidnapping. I take that back, because if it was a kidnapping by a foreign entity, the Biden administration would not have tried to get her released.
It's easy to see, you know, it's easy to see where the Biden administration's deck is stacked, right? Because the fact that Evan Gershkovich and Paul Whelan are still sitting in a Russian torture chamber, basically, tells you everything you need to know.
If only they could hit the three.
If only.
Yeah.
If only. But, hey, what did we learn from the great cinematic classic with Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes? White guys can't jump.
You can't say that. No, you're not. I don't think you're allowed to say that anymore.
Well, even as a white guy?
Well, no, because it indicates that there is some sort of inherent difference in people.
Oh.
Right, right. Because okay. I get it from like a mockery of a white guy standpoint. Like stereotypes like that are fine. But the problem is underlying the mockery is that there's this element of like some sort of immutable characteristic that might be attached to something or other. And we're not allowed to identify anything like that. Right.
I gotcha.
Man, I hope you don't get fired.
That's a very NPR method of thought you put into that, Pete.
Well, once you see it, you can't unsee it. By the way, did you hear the breaking news on that? Yuri Berliner has resigned.
Yeah, I think, I have a funny feeling that Mr. Berliner is going to find work somewhere else, probably with a major news network, who will not stifle his thought processes. Unfortunately, I think there might only be, it's not going to be any of the major ones, right?
Probably not. No, not CBS, NBC, ABC, whatever, because they're definitely not NBC, because, like, look what happened when they tried to hire Ronna McDaniel, right?
Well, she is known as the Antichrist to some people, so,
right.
Right in par for them. I mean, it really is amazing what we're seeing, and, what's also amazing is, have people forgotten what happened to Juan Williams and why he works for Fox News? Like, this is the exact same thing that happened to Juan Williams.
Wait a minute. He was at NPR, too.
Yeah, he was. And he got let go of for the exact same reason, because they said, you appearing on Fox News is really a problem because, Orange Man bad and Republicans are icky.
Remember, Bret Baier used to have Mara Liasson on regularly, like almost every day, as part of his panel discussions as well. The irony, of course, in all of this is that NPR did exactly the thing that he was highlighting as a problem in his initial piece. I suspect he'll end up writing for the Free Press. I think that's where he may end up with the website, the Free Press. Also am kind of curious as to where the NPR union is on all of this, because it seems really obvious to me that this would be classic retribution.
Well, doesn't it seem like this might be race related? Like, he's being forced into this situation because of his race, because he's an icky white guy?
Because what's her face? Catherine Marr is also a white person.
Oh, well, that's just a problem. I mean, she really shouldn't have that job then.
Well, but she has enough tweets to, with the virtue signaling and the white, the self-identifying white fragility and anti-racism struggle sessions, that I think that she has gotten herself inoculated from the whiteness.
Right. Or it's just the Democratic shield, one of the two.
Ah, yes. My favorite, the big D shield. Yes.
Right. That could be it as well. Or we're just in the kind of a losing ratio to the white fragility. I am an ally factor. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's that ally factor as well, which he's probably considered like a 9.6, I would guess.
On the ally scale?
On the ally scale. Yeah. She's still got about 4/10 of a point of room for improvement, because let's face it, even if she got to perfect, it would never be perfect.
No, of course, because the allyship scale is it's all just like all things social justice; it's graded on a curve, so she can never.
It shifts depending on the immutable characteristics of the person. Right?
Yeah, exactly. all right. So before I let you run, is there anything going on out in Western North Carolina that people here need to be aware of? I know the standard stories are kind of usually in play over in Nashville. You've got no development, opposition to development. You got opposition to law enforcement and reduction of crime and lots of drug use. Aside from that?
I've been fielding a few emails and phone calls from some restaurant and bar owners who seem to have a bit of a burr in their saddle.
Over what?
Over the fact that Governor Roy Cooper is a complete liar and a fraud. But, I mean, you know, or as you and I know it, Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. Right. Roy Cooper smacked down by the State Court of Appeals that found his edicts to shut down the bars, but not the restaurants, to be capricious and arbitrary, because obviously it was. Yeah.
Not to mention unconstitutional.
Yeah. So now they will be allowed to proceed in their litigation. So are there any bars and restaurants that went out of business in Asheville that you're aware of because of that edict?
I'm certain that there are.
Yeah.
I'm certain that there are. There's been so many restaurants that, you know, they made it through the initial COVID lockdown and they made it through the reopening, but they were just not able to keep enough money on hand to keep their business running post lockdown, and that's really what drove them out.
Yeah.
You know, I know that there was one business that, you know, they got through the lockdown thing and they got to the other side of it and they went, you know, we've been doing this 39 years and this just gives us an insight of what's to come from these type of people. And considering that these type of people seem to be the ones that always end up in office, we're just going to go ahead and retire.
Yeah.
Had it not been for COVID, they would have kept open for probably another couple of years, I would imagine.
Yeah. Mark Starling, catch him on the mornings, WWNC up in Asheville. Appreciate your time, Mark, as always.
You got it, Pete. Have a great day.
All right, brother. See ya. By the way, the highest paid player in the NBA is Stephen Curry, I believe is how he pronounces that. Right? Stephen. Isn't that right? Stephen? Curry? Oh, sorry. Stephen Curie.
It's actually Wardell Curie is technically his first name.
Wardell.
Well, his dad's name is Dell.
Dell.
And
I do remember Dell. He was a big basketballer for the Pelicans, I believe.
Yes. The Charlotte Pelicans.
Yeah. Back in the day when the Pelicans first started. So Stephen Curry is the highest paid, $48 million guaranteed money. $48 million, which that's like Tommy Freidenberg money there. A minimum salary in the NBA is dependent on your years of experience in said NBA, based on years of experience, that sort of thing. So minimum contract will run you anywhere from $838,000 all the way to $2.4 million, which, by the way, I would offer my services. I will sit on the bench and cheer for all the guys on my team, pretend to be outraged at every bad call, right? I would do all of that and let them dunk on me in practice, right? I'll do all of that, and I would do it for, I don't know, a quarter of a million. I would do it for way less than $800,000. Anyway, the maximum salary for the WNBA is $215,000. The minimum is apparently $72,000. That's league minimum. So $72,000, which, do you remember the arguments about we need to pay, like, we have to pay teachers and firefighters and police officers the same amount as we pay our professional athletes? I remember that argument. Remember that argument? Well, it seems like the WNBA is doing that. I don't think they're getting enough credit for that. Adam Silver, who's the commissioner of the NBA, declared that the WNBA, which I guess is part of the NBA, lost $12 million last year. Meanwhile, the NBA, I don't know why didn't they call it MNBA? Shouldn't it be called the MNBA at this point? The men's NBA? And I'm kind of curious, if you can't make it in the NBA, can you go and do it in the WNBA if you're trans, right? Couldn't you do that? You can go play for, oh no, that's college. She was the WNBA star. That's the coach of USC. What's her name again? Do you remember? Dawn Staley, right? Anyway, the men's league, they pull in $8 billion in revenue every year. The WNBA lost $12 million. So I think that might be part of the reason why they can't afford to pay any of the players, is they lose money. The estimated revenue is about 60 $70 million total revenue. That's what they bring in, and then they lose like $72 million. They also trail behind the men in the ratings, both domestically and internationally. They also trail the men in the attendance at the games. So, I mean, other than that, totally on par. So obviously, yes, they totally need to make the same amount of money. Speaking of men and women, do you know that they there's different ways to load the dishwasher? Stop me if you've heard that. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? I did. I literally read the manual for my dishwasher. Well, we were having problems with it when we first moved in. You know, it's the ones that the contractors put in, right? So they built the house, and it's your standard, you know, bottom of the line kind of. They throw in all the houses, right? And okay, I shouldn't say it's bottom of the line. I don't know if it's like actually the worst bottom of the line. It's not like now. I say this as one. My last dishwasher I bought that didn't come with a house. The last one I bought. Not got secondhand, but I bought it. It was out of one of the fall off the truck stores. You know, that's what I call them. The dent and ding place, you know, where they mess something up and they're like, well, we can't sell this to the highfalutin folks. So we send it to like these little strip mall stores and it's got a dent or a ding in it, whatever. And so I got that dishwasher we got there. And then I was like, you know what? I've installed a dishwasher. That was the hand-me-down one. So I've already installed one before. I'm like, I don't really care to do it. So I hired a plumber guy to come out and do it. And he was, you know, the one that came with the house warranty, which, by the way, home warranties, people, no. All right? Like, I don't, like, people, like, they throw it in as a sweetener. Like, oh, and we'll throw in a home warranty. You realize, like, there are companies that rely on the warranty leads. Because they stink, they're not good. That's why, and so they hook up with the warranty people. So this way, they get automatic referrals and stuff. They don't have to anyway. So I had this guy come in, and he was like, "Oh, I don't know if I can connect it. It's missing this adapter. So let me see if I got one in the truck." And oh, I do. I have one in the truck. Oh, yay, good. So he puts the adapter on, and then fast forward like about 8 months or so, and Christy notices that the shelves under the sink. All the way down to into the corner, they're all bowing down. They're sagging. Well, what had happened? The adapter, the rubber adapter, because the pipe coming from or the hose coming from the dishwasher was too fat. And so they needed an adapter to go to the thinner hose. And that black rubber adapter piece cracked because it was old and probably not vulcanized. I don't even know what that means. It's just something that people say when you're talking about rubber and tires and stuff. So it sounds like I know what I'm talking about. So it was not adequate. It cracked. So every time the dishwasher would drain all that scalding hot water, it was draining out under the bottom kitchen cabinets. And then the steam would rise up and it deteriorated the bottom shelf in the cabinets. We had to rip the whole thing out. Anyway, so when we moved into the house that we're in now, and it's got a dishwasher as part of the construction, and it was one of the energy efficient, right? Something like that. The HE. You see, you got to get the special detergent and the special the blue stuff, the jet dry, whatever. So you got to have the special stuff, And we started having problems. It would trip our circuit breaker, which I think is because some of the soap gets in. Because when we got the guy out there, he was like, oh, you got so much soap in there. We're like, well, why? And he's like, oh, you're using this other detergent. It's not the high efficiency. It's detergent. And that's why you get too much suds and it's shutting it down. So then he put a bunch of olive oil in there. I'm not kidding. And drained it all out. And so every now and again, I think some suds get in there and then it shuts it down. So you got to go into the garage, flip the circuit breaker again. It's high efficiency might took us. Anyway, so I read the manual. When all this was going on, I said I read the manual. And it confirmed that I was loading the dishwasher correctly all these years. I was not surprised. I will have you know, I started my career in the workforce as a dishwasher. And so it was there I learned the science and the art of the dishwashing and the dishwasher loading process. There are certain, for example, you put your plastic stuff on the top shelf because the heating coil is on the bottom. And you don't want your plastic to be close to that coil because it'll warp and melt the plastic. Right? Also, you want to make sure you got the spinners up on the top and the bottom. Because if you just have bottom and anything you load that blocks the bottom spinner, now you're not going to get water up to the top. Also, when unloading the dishwasher, I don't know who needs to hear this, but when unloading the dishwasher, you do the bottom rack first. That's like cardinal rule. Like, what is the point of washing all the dishes if you're going to open up the top rack and all the water is going to spill out because the stuff on the top is plastic? It flies all over the place. And it's going to fly all over the place, by the way, on the bottom rack, too. So don't give me that. It's going to fly all over on the bottom rack, too. And except there, if it falls down, now it's going to land on the coil. And now you got smoke. You got fire. You got a melted, probably not fire because there's a lot of water inside. But you're going to have smoke, okay? And smell. It's going to smell like burnt plastic. And that's awful. It's like baby poo, the worst kind. It's terrible. So, so you got to load or unload the bottom rack first. Also, don't let the spoon spoon, okay? You spoon the spoons in the drawer, absolutely. But you do not let them spoon in the rack, because then they won't get clean. And you want to try to point everything towards the center. That's where the water's all spinning from, right? Also, you put the fork tops and the spoon tops. They point up. Knives, you point those down so you don't run a blade up under your fingernail when you're trying to unload the dishwasher. Now you know. And knowing is half the battle. Gigi asks, did I just hear you correctly say high efficiency might took us? I did, yes. The urn says, Pete, your dishwasher compact is spectacular. Thank you, Ern. And Jal Day says, you are nailing the loading, unloading the dishwasher tutorial. I am with you all the way. Thank you, Jal Day. And Tim says, oh, wait, hang on a second. That's a different topic. Okay, and then they're still arguing over the immigration stuff. Okay. Right, so I came across this piece. This was the Wall Street Journal that they did some sort of a poll. And there's actually a Facebook group called Extreme Dishwasher Loading. Okay, I am not that extreme, okay? And there's a couple here who says that in every partnership, there's a person who stacks the dishwasher like a Scandinavian architect and the other person who stacks the dishwasher like a raccoon on meth. Right, I am definitely on the architect side, okay? That's not to say Christy is the meth-addled raccoon. Not at all. She just stacks it differently. She loads it differently. A majority of Americans, 65%, agree that there is a right and a wrong way to load a dishwasher. This according to data from YouGov Omnibus. Another poll said the average American household has 18 arguments a month over dishes. Okay, I think that just says that the average American household is about to get divorced. 18 arguments a month over dishes. Christy and I don't even argue it. You just do, I mean, just do what I do. You just reload the dishwasher. You just change it. You just move the stuff around. And I look, no, I'm not speaking out of turn. Christy does it to me too. She'll move stuff I put in there as well. In New York, Stephen Edwards says he accidentally conducted an experiment when his wife Nina was out of town. He used only bowls and plates of the same size. Quote, I am a big fan of dish uniformity. It was so easy to empty, I didn't have to make so many decisions. That's just stupid. Okay, this is stupid because you're spending all this time on the front end loading it. You're not saving any time. You don't need uniformity. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.